Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
And welcome to the 25th edition of Mediocrity, where the podcast is just okay. I'm Brian Kluger with BoomstickComics.com, and where this wonderful Mediocrity podcast is Multimedia Men on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Subscribe to us. This is our 25th episode, and we are not all in the same room right now, as you probably listened to before the holidays came, before the new year came. Mr. Jonathan Atterbury moved away to California. However, he is with us, and it sounds like he is in the same room. Say hi, Jonathan.
What's up, man? How's it going?
It's going well. How's your how's the move? How's your holiday? How's your new year?
The move was a gigantic pain in the ass, and the holiday and all of that stuff has been great. I had a great time hanging with my family and my niece and all that stuff. We got a white Christmas up on the mountains, so it was all pretty good.
So no black Christmas?
No black Christmas. No, just the white Christmas.
Why was your move a pain in the ass?
Well, I think anytime you do the drive from Dallas to Los Angeles, it's a giant pain in the ass. It's kind of impossible to avoid that.
And you did it in a large truck, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I was driving a U-Haul towing my car. So that just added to the fun.
All right. So you're settled in, you're doing well. NewAmericanFitness.net is up in the air, or is it still going strong?
Oh, yeah. It's going strong. We're doing that. I've been coaching. I've been doing the articles and all that fun stuff. So it's going great.
Y'all need to follow New American Fitness on Instagram, because you will see an oiled up Jonathan constantly.
Not generally oiled up. Mostly naked, yes, not oiled up.
That's so funny.
Usually.
And then, again, Jeremy and I are only a few seconds away from each other, but we decided to do it on Skype. Jeremy Miggert, the comic book artist master. How was your Christmas? How was your New Year's? And how are the comics coming?
It was great, man. Super fun, super relaxing. The comic's going great. I've got page 10 of issue 3 on my drawing table right now.
Nice. Very nice. And so we're going to talk about Rogue One, because, as you know, we love Star Wars, especially Jeremy and Jonathan. They finally saw Rogue One. So we're going to talk about that. But before that, since we're in, you know, we want to talk about the holidays and what everybody did, we're going to talk about, like, what anything you get, like, that's geeky or nerdy for the holiday, for Christmas or Hanukkah, or, like, video games or anything that you got?
I think most of the stuff I got was nerdy.
Oh, yeah? So what'd you get? What was some of the video games or some of the crazy shit you got?
All right. So my lovely lady, she got me a copy of XCOM 2. For Xbox One.
What is that?
So XCOM is a strategy game, turn-based strategy, where basically you're a resistance force fighting off the alien invasion. And it's pretty cool because you can develop your soldiers and level them up and all that stuff. But once they get killed off, they're dead. So it adds a really fun element to the game.
All right.
And of course, you're developing technology and all that kind of stuff, too. So it's a fun strategy game, but it's really one of the few that's available for the Xbox port.
Okay.
So that's awesome. I got she got me Pokemon Moon also for the 3DS.
Oh, yeah. You're a young one. You still like Pokemon.
I do. You know what? Honestly, it's been a long time since I played the games and got into it because, of course, I played the bejesus out of the original when that was new. But I haven't really finished a Pokemon game since then. So this is the first one that I'm really digging into and enjoying since Pokemon Yellow, I think.
All right. Jeremy, did you get anything cool?
I did. I got some awesome stuff. Josie got me. There's a comic artist that I like, and he did some like little mini fan comics. He did a Star Wars comic, that's called Green Leader, and it's just a little, like, little 7-8 page story about the dude in Return of the Jedi that crashes his A-Wing into the bridge of the Super Star Destroyer, then making it crash into the Death Star. And so it's a little story about that. And then he also did a little 8-page story about a character from Star Trek called Martok. But not only did she get me those, but she actually got me an original art page from a comic book that he does called Space Mullet. And so that was kind of like the big surprise gift, and it was fantastic.
Very cool. And none of you got Overwatch.
No, I didn't get Overwatch yet.
Oh, well,
did you get Battlefront?
Not yet. I have not yet. But I want to. I want to.
$10 right now.
Battlefront is?
Yep.
I'll get Battlefront today. $10.
I think the season pass is like $12.
I'll do it.
There you go.
Then we'll do it. Finally. After like 12 weeks of you saying, it's not a good game, but get it. I will finally get it.
We can't I know it's confusing, still recommend but we'll it have enough. Fun.
You can't recommend it enough. Okay. So, okay, cool. So you got some cool games, got some cool stuff.
What about you? What'd you get?
Yeah, what'd you get?
I just got
How was your Chanukah?
Oh, the Chanukah was good. I got a couple records. Went to New Orleans, which was awesome.
Yeah, I saw your penis necklace on the internet.
Yeah, that was the first stop I went to. If you go to my Instagram, Brian Kluger, you will see a video of me in a New Orleans store, and there was a bunch of beads that had a bunch of cocks on them. And, of course, I had to put all of them on me. And
all the cocks. All the cocks.
And that was my first stop. That was the first thing I actually did in New Orleans. So it started off right. And then there was drinks. There was records. I got some money. Yeah, it was a good one. I didn't get any video games, per se, just because I think I'm really only playing one. Soon to be two, because I am going to get Battlefront today. Today!
Yay!
Was that Yoda having a seizure?
I think it was
Yoda jerking off two dicks.
Yes, two dicks with Kermit.
Awesome. So speaking of Battlefront, and we're going to Star Wars, Rogue One was released. I saw it three times. It is on track to make, you know, $900 million, maybe more. I've told you guys I really enjoy the movie. Like I said, I've seen it three times. I've enjoyed it more and more each three times. The third time, I'll probably see it again. You two guys are big Star Wars buffs. So I want to hear from Jeremy first what he thought of Rogue One.
I loved it. It was great seeing all of the old school Star Wars stuff. I always nerd out for things like the A-Wings. So when the A-Wings flew across the screen and were dropping bombs on the that kind of shield gate ship that was like up in orbit over Scarif, that just sent the Star Wars boner raging.
So like, yeah, when they were like gold leader, red leader, and blue leader, mm-hmm. where I was just like, oh God, it's happening.
Yep. Like all the kind of like vintage footage that they included in there, I thought was fantastic. It was so much fun.
Sweet. Would Jonathan, let me guess, you hated it.
Yeah, I hated it so much. No, I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. There was so much stuff in there that just made me completely want to jump out of my seat and, you know, completely nerd laugh, basically.
So I've got to ask what your reaction was. And the spoiler, but everybody's seen it by now because it's made so much money. The end scene with Darth Vader.
Oh, man, that was just I was rock hard the entire time.
Dude, that was the coolest Darth Vader scene ever in any movie.
It was exactly the Darth Vader that we have always wanted to see. You know, it was great because, you know, I think back in the original trilogy, Darth Vader was supposed to be scary and all that stuff. And, since we've all been jaded since then, Darth Vader's not been scary to any of us. But when you watch that scene, you really get an idea of the fact that Darth Vader's fucking terrifying.
Dude, that scene when the lightsaber turns on, you're like, oh God. And then just the guy goes to the ceiling and then to the wall. And just like he does like the, you know, his forearm and all the guns come to him. Like, I was like, oh God, this is, like you said, this is the Darth Vader that I think everybody's wanted forever. Yeah, Jeremy, what'd you do during that scene? What'd you do during that scene, Jeremy?
Just sat there in awe, taking it all in.
Took it all in. So I know a lot of people have spoken out in that scene. People have said, why did Darth Vader, since he's so powerful, why did he just like force get that that hard drive? And I'm like, well, that was at the very front of that room, and he was dealing with everything else. So I figured that's why that happened. Because it was like, of course, there wouldn't be a movie, like the Star Wars movies, if he got them. But I feel like why couldn't he just force push that?
He would have to know exactly where it is to grab it.
Correct.
Even if he was going to force grab it and pull it like Luke with the lightsaber hanging upside down in Empire, he still has to know exactly where it is. And he can't grab it if there's, 15 dudes shooting at him.
Right. Yeah.
The limited attention span.
he was so good. So what did you think of Jyn Erso?
He didn't have the high ground.
He did not. So what did you think of Jyn Erso? What did you think of Saw Gerrera? What did you think of – I thought one of my favorite characters – well, let's not get there. Let's talk about Donnie Yen first. He's probably one of the coolest characters. The blind Chinese guy. What was his name in that movie?
Chirrut Imwe, okay. Right?
What an amazing character.
Oh, yeah. He was awesome. I think he was, besides the K-2-3-O, is that the droid's name?
K-2-S-O.
K-2-S-O, yeah. So besides K-2-S-O, I think Chirrut was my favorite character in the movie.
He was so good. And so I'm not understanding. They said they were the guardian of the wills. What is that? Because I don't know what that is.
Well, this is all new. So this is not stuff that I'm particularly well versed on, because this is totally new stuff that they've created. So what the idea that I got was that they were guardians of the Jedi Temple that was once there. Correct, Jeremy?
Yes. And the wills actually is a reference from George Lucas's early script for Star Wars. And that's actually what it's referencing, because it was like Star Wars, Luke Skywalker, and the something of the wills. I forget exactly what it's titled, but what those dudes were was that on that planet there was a temple, but also a mine for the kyber crystals, which are what gets inserted into the lightsaber, which is what the kind of light passes through and then makes the beam of the lightsaber. That's also what they were using for the laser in the Death Star.
Right.
And so that temple there is where they housed they had the kyber crystal, like the mine for the kyber crystals, and that's what those dudes were guarding. They were basically like guards for the temple.
Okay. He was badass. He was so amazing. And I have to say, Forrest Whitaker as Saul Guerrera, I loved his character. I wanted more. I wanted to see him fight.
Yeah, me too. I think that he was one of the more intriguing characters, and we got so little of him. It was kind of disappointing.
So, yeah, it looks like Saul Guerrera. So, Forrest Whitaker is going to voice him in the upcoming season of Star Wars Rebels. But I would like to see, like, a Saul Guerrera story, because it looks like he went through the fucking ringer and back. You know? Like, he looked like he's, like, got, like, metal legs and arms, and, like, he can't breathe well. He's like Darth Vader, but a good guy.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I want a whole story about him. I think I might buy a book about him or something, but I don't know if I think that one of the amazing things about, the old Star Wars, if you look at Empire or anything like that, was that all these characters had just implied mysterious backgrounds. And I think that was more intriguing than if we delve into each individual character and flush them out completely.
Okay. All right. I like it. I mean, I think we'll get more stuff in Rebels, but I really like.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure we will.
Saw Gerrera.
I'm sure you'll probably see what happened to him like with the legs and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like what incident occurred to have him be that disabled.
Right. Then in K2SO, the new droid voiced by the amazing Alan Tudyk from Firefly, best droid ever in a Star Wars movie.
I agree. He was hilarious. He was so likable and so sarcastic. It was great.
That was he brought that comedic timing perfectly.
Yes.
Jeremy, yeah, it was fantastic. Like him? You like that?
Loved him. He was actually my favorite character in the movie. That's probably my favorite Star Wars droid other than HK-47 from the Old Republic video games, Knights of the Old Republic.
I'm trying to remember that one.
Yeah, I don't think I think you said you didn't play that game ever, so you wouldn't know about it.
I played Knights of the Old Republic too.
Well, I think he was only briefly in that.
Okay, then I guess I wouldn't know. But yeah, no, K2SO, he was so funny, and just I am going with you, Jyn Erso. K Castian said I had to. I was like, that was just perfect. Like, so good. So, speaking of Castian, Diego Luna, I thought he was the weakest character of everybody.
I agree completely. I think he was a horrible casting choice.
He's a great actor, but, like, I just...
Wrong for the part. Didn't work.
I get his motive. I get his thing. I just thought he was the weakest character.
Yeah. Every time he was on screen, I just did not care at all about whatever was going on with him.
What about you, Jeremy?
Well, I got to say, unfortunately for me, outside of Chirrut and K2SO, I didn't really care for any of the characters.
Really?
Like, when all of them died, I just didn't care. I had no emotional reaction. And I watched a review for the movie where somebody said that, you know, with this movie, with the previous movies, it's, you know, you care a lot about the characters, and the characters are a big deal, and you have, like, Han and Luke and Leia, and then you have, like, Poe and Finn and Rey. But with this, that it's when you watch, like, a war movie, you know, a war movie doesn't really focus on the, like, character stories. It focuses on the overall story of the war that you're watching.
Right.
That's what this was, where you're supposed to just be focused more on the conflict than the characters. But, you know, I honestly, like, I really didn't care for any of the characters. There was just no, like, you know, like, I liked K2SO and I liked Chirrut, but it kind of stopped after that for me.
I thought Baze Malbus was pretty fun. I think, of course, you know, they didn't really go into his character much, but I thought he was cool. And I even liked Jyn to a certain extent, but, you know, she wasn't, like, blowing my mind or anything. But I think the Bodhi Rook and who was the pilot guy, I think he was also really boring. I just didn't care about that character one tiny bit.
But I think it's, like, it's that story, like, okay, there is a certain time period of, like, a couple weeks or a few days where they really were the people to set in motion the whole Star Wars trilogy, and we knew they were not going to be there forever. So I don't think there needed to be, like, an emotional heft to them as much as we do with Luke or Han or Leia.
No doubt. There didn't need to be that there. But I mean, even if you look at a movie like Saving Private Ryan or something like that, another war movie, so, you know, some of the characters in that movie, you definitely cared more about than I did about Bodhi Rook, you know, seeing those characters get wiped out at the end of Saving Private Ryan, there was still an emotional weight to it. But when you see Bodhi die, you're like, eh.
And to me, it's a difference of, like, it's like, I know that they were going to die, but I feel like just because your characters are going to die, I feel like that doesn't mean you need to write disposable characters. And that's kind of how I feel. I just felt like that all the characters were disposable. And I felt like that pretty much all of them were replaceable, that you could have put a different character in there and, you know, it would have been all good.
Well, I liked all the characters. I just, again, it's, you're getting them for one movie, and there's so much time they have on screen, and it is a movie where they all die.
Yep. So, we didn't get enough Jimmy Smits.
You got enough Jimmy Smits. You got enough. I trust her with my life. They aged him well in that movie. They did. What did you think about Grand Moff Tarkin CG?
Oh, I loved it. I think it was just one of the coolest things ever. The whole time, as soon as he came on, I was just like, oh my God, it's Grand Moff Tarkin.
It's Peter Cushing. Oh, yeah. Goodness. It looked good mostly. Like, it still had, like, a glazed overlook, you know, like, not lifelike, but they still did a good job.
To me, it looked good enough.
Yeah, no, I accepted it immediately and went on. Like, I was like, okay, sweet. Because it would have been weird to not have him in that role. It would have been somebody else.
Yeah, that would have been too weird. And he's such an important character. They had to have him in there for at least a little bit. And I think the technology was good enough to have him be more than a tiny walk-on part.
Right, right. I agree. What do you think, Jeremy?
I loved it. That actually was another thing I really dug about the movie. I like that we basically got more Tarkin in that movie than we did in New Hope.
That's true.
Yeah.
He was in it a lot because he's a big part of it. And I love Ben Mendelsohn's character, like the villain in Rogue One. I just love how Tarkin was like, you didn't do this. I did this, and I'm going to take all the credit. And that was Mendelsohn's, like, push for, like, I'm a bad guy. Like, he hated not being recognized. And even with the that cheesy-ass Darth Vader scene in the middle of the movie, like, don't choke on your, you know. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, that was kind of rough.
Yeah, but, I mean, that was his motivation, I think, for a lot of it, which I liked. I love Ben Mendelsohn, and I love Mads Mikkelsen, who was the scientist guy, who Jenner Associates.
He was awesome. I like him in everything, though.
Yeah, me too.
So did y'all like the little nods, like you saw the blue milk at the very beginning on the table?
Of course. Yeah, every single little nod we got was just, I was like, ooh, look at that, it's blue milk.
And what are the two guys who are in episode 4? He doesn't like you either, you know, from...
Yeah, is Ponda Baba and Dr. something or other.
Yeah, they run into them and they try to start some shit. That
yeah.
That's funny. What other... nods were there, and I'm trying to remember.
There were some Rebels nods.
There was? Which ones were there? Where?
The Rebels ship, the Ghost, was in the movie twice. It was in the movie when they first go to Yavin, and they give you the kind of above view of the, just the kind of ships that are in the shipyard. It's there, and then it shows up again when the whole Rebel fleet's attacking the Scarif planet. It's actually one of the ships that drops out of hyperspace. And then there's another time where in the background, the droid from that show, Chopper, like, just kind of goes by.
Okay. All right.
And we also, of course, got some footage of Red and Gold. I think it was Red and Gold Leader, right?
Yes, yeah. We did.
Which was really awesome.
That was cool.
As soon as I saw that, that just, like, blew my mind. I thought that was one of the coolest things to throw in there.
Did you like that?
And to see them kicking ass, too. That was great.
You know what I laughed at? I laughed at Porkin's brother dying first in the battle. The fat Chinese guy that died in the X-Wing.
Red Five.
Yeah, Red it was five. The fat guy.
It was cool. Also,
Porkin's they're like, brother. Hey, we need an opening.
Yeah.
In the in the Red Squadron.
And Porkin's twin died. I was dying laughing. There was another thing I wanted to bring up with Rogue One. Oh shit! What was it? Damn it! Oh, what do you think of the score? Since it wasn't John Williams.
I thought it was disappointing.
I agree.
Really? Because it's Michael Giacchino. Chino, and he's done a lot of the Disney stuff.
It was good. It just wasn't John Williams, you know? John Williams is not good. John Williams is fucking epic. And this just wasn't quite that. I mean, it was good. I'm not going to sit there and say it was a bad score. It just wasn't quite as awesome as it could have been if Williams had done it.
Okay.
It was, I don't really know how to put it in terms of music, but if it was an actor, it would basically be like overacting. To me, it was just a little too overdone, and it just felt super like in my face the whole time.
Interesting. I enjoyed it. Like, I mean, he incorporated some of Williams stuff into it and had his own thing. I mean, of course, I'm always going to go want Williams stuff, but
right.
Oh well.
For everything.
Oh well. Were y'all shocked to not get us a crawl at the beginning?
No, I'd read previously that we weren't getting that, so I wasn't surprised.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm cool with no crawl, but I'm still not used to the idea of a Star Wars movie with no fanfare before it.
Okay.
That's still weird to me.
Yep, that's weird to me also.
All right. And what else? What was I going to say? Oh, did y'all find it weird? I've heard some people not like that they put the text of the planets and where they were every time.
I think it was really important, actually, for this movie because they were going to so many different planets that it would have been really difficult and confusing if they hadn't done that.
But they've done that in other movies, and they've never put different planets up there, right?
But they didn't go change from planet to planet at the same speed, you know? I mean, if you look at every other Star Wars movie, there might be two planets or three planets in the entire movie. And they weren't going from – and they kind of explained themselves on screen. Hey, I've got to go to Dagobah or whatever. You're not just kind of left wondering. They didn't really give you that text like, oh, we're all going to go to this place. You just show up on Darth Vader's castle or whatever.
Yeah, or it's like we've got a probe droid in the Hoth system.
So was Darth Vader still on the lava planet from episode 3 when we see him?
Yes.
That was the same planet?
Mustafar. They confirmed it was Mustafar.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
That's where his castle is. And apparently the Emperor built it there to torture him mentally, to keep him in the state of fury.
Really?
Basically. And there's also supposed to have been, they built his castle on an ancient Sith temple. So there's like a Sith cave beneath his castle that he goes and meditates in as well.
So he's just chilling out in a steam room all day. He comes out and he talks and he gets on the ship, right? That's what
he goes and kicks a bunch of ass, apparently.
He does. He definitely does. So Rogue One, so in your crazy Star Trek nerdy minds, where does this rank with all the rest of them?
I'd say it's the best Star Wars movie since Return of the Jedi.
So Return of the Jedi, then Rogue One.
Yeah, I think Force Awakens is fantastic.
Wait. What's number one? Empire Strikes Back, right?
Empire Strikes Back, yeah. And, so I'd say Empire, Return of the Jedi, New Hope, okay. Then Rogue One.
Okay, so four. Okay, so this is right after the original trilogy.
Yes,
so number four. So, you had me worried. You're like Return of the Jedi and then Rogue One. I was like, what?
No. So, I mean, original trilogy obviously comes first, and then you get Rogue One after that.
Okay. All right. Jeremy, what about you?
All right, ranking them, I probably would put I'd probably do Jedi first, then Empire, then A New Hope. And I probably enjoyed The Force Awakens a little more than this movie overall.
I will agree with you there.
I will put The Force Awakens and then Rogue One for me.
I agree with Jeremy.
I can't rank any movie that high where Han Solo dies. I just can't do it.
Oh, I knew that was why. I knew that's why I fell there for you.
I'm still bitter and upset about that. I mean, so Force Awakens was wonderful, and I think that what they did was smart. It set up a fantastic trilogy. I imagine that, you know, episode 8, maybe episode 9, too, may be the best Star Wars movies ever, for all we know. But and the characters, you know, Rey and Finn and even Kylo Ren, I think were awesome characters. But I think overall the movie was just too much of a New Hope rerun for me to rank it that high.
But I feel like we needed that after the shitty...
We did. I get the strategy, and I approve of the strategy. It's just, I'm still not going to say it's like, oh my God, it's the best Star Wars movie.
Nice. One thing I got to give Rogue One credit for is I feel like with the Force Awakens, they were very much selling the movie on the nostalgia factor, you know. But I think the thing that was cool about Rogue One was they did a different story, but they still sold you with a ton of great nostalgia with the walkers and all the ships and, you know, just your great close-ups of Star Destroyers and everything.
Yeah. They gave you the nostalgia just from showing you all the cool shit you wanted to see.
It's like you got a new story, but you also got some great nostalgia with it too.
Yeah.
So when the Star Destroyer is over the planet where Saw Gerrera is that like real? Like, is that like real? Like, could that happen? Could that big of a ship, you know, hold itself in an atmosphere like that?
Well, that's real if that's what they put it in the movie in the Star Wars universe. That's possible now.
I've heard people talk about that, so I wanted y'all's opinion on that.
I think that there's, you know, the problem is that I think what bothers me is when people watch a Star Wars movie and they get caught up in whether the technology makes sense on Earth.
Yeah, I mean, my thing, there's space wizards in the movie. It's like, if there's space wizards in the movie, you know, do we really care about the science? I mean, I don't really need to know how Superman flies. I'm fine that he just flies.
Yeah, I agree. It's just one of those things where you just got to suspend your cynicism for, you know, 2 hours and just go enjoy the entertainment.
It's like they're not crying about how does the giant space laser work.
True. I've just heard and I've seen articles about that. I just want to know what y'all's opinion is.
I think it looked awesome, and that's all I cared about.
Yeah, me too.
It looked amazing. Good. Yeah, Rogue One. Like I said, I've seen it 3 times, and every time I like it more. So I can't wait for you guys to see it more and more.
I know. I've still only seen it once. I need to go see it like 4 more times. I really do.
Good. Rogue One. All right. Moving on from Rogue One talk. Let's talk about the Deadpool and Wolverine movies and their possible getting together in their films. First off, the new Wolverine trailer, which is or movie called Logan. It's called Logan, right?
Yes,
that's correct.
That trailer is unbelievably good. It looks hardcore, and it's rated R. And let's not. This upcoming Sunday is the Golden Globes, the Golden Globe Awards, and Ryan Reynolds is nominated for Best Actor in a Comedy, and Deadpool is nominated for Best Picture in a Comedy at the Golden Globes.
Oh yeah,
badass!
That is badass.
That is so cool. They will not win. I said today on the radio show on the Entertainment Answer, if Ryan Reynolds wins Best Actor, I am streaking and I will film it. It's going to happen. I want them to
like
win.
Now I don't want him to win.
I'm holding you to this.
I did it and I filmed it. You can look it up on Twitter. I definitely did this when Leo won last year for the Oscars. Absolutely, I did.
I will not look that up.
You will look that up. We'll post it. But what do you think about this Wolverine Deadpool thing? Do you think they're going to be in each other's movies? What do you think?
I'm going to go ahead and say I expect that we'll get a Deadpool versus Wolverine movie.
But it will not be Hugh Jackman.
I think it will be.
You think Hugh Jackman has said he is not doing any more Wolverine movies after this one?
So Ryan Reynolds has been busting his balls trying to get figure out a way to get Wolverine and Hugh Jackman's Wolverine in a movie together with the two of them. And then Ryan Reynolds was basically talking about how he wanted to do an actual movie. And then they actually interviewed Hugh Jackman briefly about it. And he said he didn't say no. He basically said, you know, at this point, like, I love the idea. Of course, I really want to make it happen. It may not be the right time for it, but we'll see. To me, that means, yes, definitely, I'm going
to
do it.
To me, that means I'm waiting for someone to get out the checkbook.
Yeah.
Dude, he's making like $50 million a picture. It's like crazy. What else is he going to need?
Who?
I think it's just going to be...
No, he's not. He took less money to do Logan.
Really?
Yeah, he took a pay cut so they could make it rated R. Because the rated R movie will make less money than a PG-13 movie. So he took the pay cut to make the movie.
But he must be getting percentage off the back end.
I don't know. But so that's where he stands on the Wolverine versus Deadpool thing. And of course, Ryan Reynolds will pretty much do anything in his power to make that happen. And I have a feeling that as long as they don't wait too long to do it, Hugh Jackman will make it happen. Because, you know, let's be honest, that would just be the fan's dream right there.
I mean, we're not going to get the Hugh Jackman versus the Hulk that we all wanted, so hopefully we can at least get that.
So, yeah. If, let's say, Deadpool and Wolverine make a movie, what do you think it will be about? What do you think it will be, like, equally funny and equally dramatic? What do you think?
I have a feeling it could even be something along the lines of Civil War, where we have them fighting each other maybe for the first half of the movie, and then they have to team up in the second half to fight someone else.
So do you think it'll go that way? Is there like a particular story with those two in the comic book world, Jeremy, that they would draw from?
Yeah, there are kind of a few stories. The thing that worries me is we don't really know like what they filmed. And there's a book that takes place, I think it's in the future, and it's either called like X-Force or X-Factor. And you know, Wolverine and like X-23 and a couple other mutants find Deadpool, and he's basically, they're all, it's like 100 years in the future, and Deadpool's basically been buried under like a collapsed building, and because of his regenerative powers, he doesn't die, but he's basically just been like alive and alone like underneath a collapsed building for 100 years. And so I'm wondering if it's just going to end up being like a quick little comedic scene like that, you know, where they just kind of find Deadpool buried. Something along those lines, hopefully with no optic vision.
Interesting. Interesting, yeah. I'm curious of that. I mean, it would be awesome to get that Wolverine-Hulk movie from Ultimate Hulk versus Wolverine, but yeah.
That's probably not going to happen.
Probably no.
Happen, unfortunately. But yeah, Deadpool-Wolverine, and we'll see. I really think that if Deadpool... My whole body thinks that Ryan Reynolds deserves... the Golden Globe. He will not be nominated for an Oscar. But
who's he up against? Do you know who he's up against for it?
For the music, yeah, Ryan Gosling is probably the only one for La La Land that he'd be vying for.
Gotcha. Yeah, I didn't see La La Land yet, so I can't really say whether or not he deserves it.
Well, I mean, it's not the Oscars, but the Golden Globes. But it's really weird for them to give a Best Picture or a Best Actor for a role like this. But they were so good.
Oh yeah, I mean, obviously, Deadpool was hilarious, and everyone I know that's seen that movie has had nothing but positive things to say about it.
Correct. And then with Wolverine, Hugh Jackman, of course, he's amazing in it. And if you know the guy, he is like a song and dance theater guy, not Wolverine in real life. So he really does a really good job acting-wise there, but a lot of the Wolverine movies aren't that great. But this one actually looks really good.
Yeah, the only Wolverine movie that's any good is the Wolverine, the last one that came out.
Oh, yeah. The one
I thought that one was a lot of fun. I was totally fine with that movie.
The train sequence?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of sequences. There was so much cool stuff. The only thing that would have made it better is if it was rated R and totally gory.
Yeah. So we'll see how this I really hope they do a Red Band trailer for Logan to see, like...
They already have.
The Red Band one?
Yeah, the only difference is you just hear them say, you know, fuck a few times, and I think there's a little bit more blood.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you see blood when he does the thing where he pops the claws out the guy's head. You see that more.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll check that. We'll
I just hope that in Logan we get a lot of, like, practical blood effects. I do not want a bunch of CG blood. Nothing bothers me more than CG blood in movies.
Because a lot of the times it looks really terrible.
Most of the time, CG blood looks awful. I mean, nothing will look as bad as that Steven Seagal Code of Honor blood in that movie.
Your favorite movie of the year?
That was just like, I just can't even express to you how bad the blood effects looked in that movie. But
oh my goodness.
It's just
the only
not...
time I don't mind the digital blood is when it's something that's really stylized, like when you're watching like 300. Or something like that.
Yes, I'll give you that.
Where it's specifically like a stylized look that they can only get with that, then I don't mind it. But if it's something that's supposed to be kind of like grounded, like in a little more realistic looking, then I prefer the just traditional splatter.
Yeah, because when you see the CG stuff, you're never like, oh, that's so gory. And in a Wolverine movie, I want to think that. When I see him killing people, I want to be like, oh, my God, that's so gory and amazing.
That's what we all want. Who do you want to direct the rumored Deadpool Wolverine movie?
I think if they're doing the guy that did John Wick, I think that's the rumor that he's going to do the second Deadpool movie.
Yeah.
And if he does well with that, I'd be more than happy to see him do the third one.
Yeah, me too.
I think that John Wick was one of the coolest movies of the last 5 years. I mean, yeah. John Wick was awesome.
And that sequel's coming out too.
I know. I can't wait for that.
So the two guys who directed John Wick actually did that big crazy airplane hangar scene in Captain America
Civil War.
Yeah.
And that was awesome too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So those guys are awesome. I'd love to see more stuff from them.
I agree.
It'd be cool if the whoever directed, I don't know who did it, but the Dread movie with Carl Urban, whoever directed that would probably
work
well for
was that?
Little Deadpool Wolverine action.
Let me look that up because I'm trying
I'd be all right with that.
It was.
I wouldn't be mad.
Who directed Dread? You like that one?
I love that movie.
There was you liked it better than the Stallone movie?
A little bit. I mean, it didn't have Rob Schneider, but, you know, no movie's perfect.
No movie does, really. Who directed Dread? I'm looking it up right now because I don't remember. Pete Travis directed it. And what else did he direct? Nothing. He's directed 16 things, but nothing I don't think we would ever have ever seen. There's a movie called Endgame, Vantage Point. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Some weird TV shows, but like, Dread was like his big thing, and now he's gone back to TV movies. Huh. Not doing much. Not doing much. All right. Moving on to our last segment. The best things of 2016. What do you guys, I mean, this could be movies, television shows, video games. What do you think?
Okay, so
your favorite
thing. I think my favorite movie of the entire year, I won't count Rogue One because I don't think it's, I'm going to be fair about that.
It's in a category by itself.
It is. Anytime it's a Star Wars movie, it just doesn't even compare to everything else. So, I think Captain Fantastic is my movie of the year.
Look at you. Good.
Yep. Upon your recommendation, I checked it out and I loved it so much. It was such a fantastic movie.
It is a great one, especially when they sing the song at the end too. It was really good.
Yeah. Everything about that movie was just, it was funny. It was touching. It was just it was awesome. I loved it.
Good. I'm glad you
I liked, I think Doctor Strange was awesome too. I was really happy with that.
Damn good movie.
Damn good. Damn fine filmmaking there. And so I think video game wise, I'm going to go ahead and say that the re-release of Skyrim was a high point for me, and it still is. And I'm also loving XCOM 2. The sequel is so good. I'm just absolutely having a ton of fun with it.
Okay. All right. What was the worst movie you saw?
Definitely Code of Honor with Steven Seagal.
Fantastic.
That was probably the worst movie I've ever seen.
Oh, good. In 2016. Good. So you got video games and movies. Any TV show that you really liked this year that came out?
Luke Cage was probably the one that came out this year. No, Westworld. I think I'm going to say Westworld number one, Luke Cage number two.
All right.
There wasn't really a lot else that was new this year, you know, that came out in 2016 that I really tuned into.
Okay. Jeremy, what about you?
For my best stuff for this year, I've got a couple comics on there. There's one called Injection, and it's written by Warren Ellis and drawn by Declan Shalvey. And it's about this think tank group. They decide to create an artificial intelligence. And what they do is, because they don't want to make it after a person, because the idea is that with consciousness that human beings don't understand it well enough to actually define it, they basically make an artificial learning system, and they inject it, as they say, kind of into the internet and just turn it loose. And there's one guy in there that's a British character that's kind of like, I guess he's kind of like a wizard. He deals with like mystical things. And part of when they're putting it together is they inject something from something called the other side. They haven't explained what that is yet, into this. And so what the story in the book is it's the kind of like five characters dealing with the aftermath of like creating this thing and putting it in the internet and basically turning it loose on the world.
All right. That's nice. Cool.
Yeah. And it's super good.
Cool. What else you got?
There's a book called Huck that is fantastic, which is by Mark Millar and drawn by a guy named Raphael Albuquerque. And it's about a dude who has superpowers, but he's just kind of a simple guy. Like, he works in a gas station, and instead of, like, you know, leaping tall buildings in a single bound, Superman style, basically his goal is to do one good deed a day, and he keeps a journal. And it could be something small where it's tiny things like, you know, takes out the trash for the entire town, or like, you know, helps a lady find her son that she hasn't seen in, you know, 5 years. You know, it's a lot of just kind of small stuff, like small scale, local, doing good type of thing.
Cool. What about movies or TV shows?
Movies overall, I probably would give it to Deadpool as my favorite movie.
Nice.
I gotta give it to that. I would give an honorable mention to Civil War with the introduction of the new Spider-Man that they're going to be doing.
All right.
That was pretty great. TV shows, though, I got to give it to Westworld, hands down.
All right. Cool.
Yeah, I forgot to mention one more that really ranked high on my list this year, which was the second Conjuring movie.
Oh, that they did a really good job with that.
Yeah, that was one of the best horror movies we've gotten in a long time, in my opinion.
All right. Jeremy, what's the worst movie you saw this year?
Worst movie? I might have to give that to the Suicide Squad.
He was so disappointed in it.
Yeah, it was rough.
I haven't seen that, and I just don't think I'm going to at this point.
I'm sure it'll make its way to Netflix eventually.
You need to watch it so you can talk about it.
Yeah.
Probably you'll like it, knowing you.
No, I did the live tweet for that fucking Batman versus Superman movie, and that was soul sucking.
This is worse than that.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not watching it.
You need to watch it. You need to watch it so you can see what happens. Because Batman is in it. Ben Affleck is in it.
That doesn't sound like a fair trade-off.
Yeah, well, you never know. You never know.
So what about you? What's your list?
Video game, definitely Overwatch. Holy God. Oh, and that new Limbo game.
Oh, yeah.
Those two video games. Overwatch is awesome. And what was that Limbo? It was Limbo was the first one, and there's the second one. Oh, I can't remember what it's called. Fuck. Oh, well. Those two video games. TV shows, definitely Westworld, but also I think my number one would be Stranger Things. Loved it.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about that. That was also incredible.
Yeah, Stranger Things, I think, is my favorite TV show this year. That was brand new. Movie-wise, I did a whole the whole movie best of year. And I will have to say, that Captain America Civil War is, it will not win anything, but I think overall that's the best movie on every filmmaking level that came out this year. From
right acting, on, that was such a fun movie.
To score, to delivery, to visual effects, to just how it was paced, everything.
You think the score too?
The score was awesome. Yes.
Normally he doesn't dig those.
I did. I really liked it. The Witch, I loved this year.
Wasn't that a 2015 movie though?
No, that was this year. That is in the contention for this year.
Oh, I thought that was 2015. Then yes, I'm going to say that as well because The Witch was ridiculously awesome.
The Witch. I'm going to have to say I did love Captain Fantastic. I loved. I'm going to have to give some shout out to Miles Ahead, which was the Don Cheadle and Miles Davis movie.
Loved I need to see it. That still.
It's so good. I'll let you borrow it. I've got it. What else?
The Nice Guys was awesome.
The Nice Guys was great.
That was.
Nice Guys was great.
Why are Shane you Black is winner. I had to question the mermaids.
So good. So yeah, you can find my list on boomstickcomics.com as well as this podcast. But yeah, I think that brings us a wrap unless y'all have anything else to add.
No, I think this has been a pretty successful first remote recording of the show.
Yeah, doing well. Yeah, as any of you audience members, our lovely audience, you can't see us, but we can see each other right now, and everybody's good. What T-shirt are you wearing, John? You usually wear a Star Wars shirt. Your Hypnotic Donut shirt. You are representing Hypnotic Donuts.
I represent Dallas still.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm wearing my Raw WWE shirt, so... That'll nice. Be good. And
I'm,
so,
I'm wearing a Hypnotic Donut shirt and no pants.
Prove it.
That's how I party.
Prove it.
Prove it? No, I'm wearing pants.
Damn it. So we'll be back next week, and next week we will be talking all about CES. There's going to be tons of really cool video game news and video game console news, virtual reality stuff.
What did you say we're talking about?
Isn't it CES?
Oh, I thought you said CVS, and I was like, the pharmacy? No, that doesn't sound like a fun show.
CES, I'm not into that. Consumer Electronics Show. That all.
Oh, I didn't even know that's a thing. So cool. I'm into it,
dude.
Hey, seriously? we already got the release date for Mass Effect, so I don't really care about.
Yeah, it. I don't care about anything.
Whatever,
anymore.
Whatever comes out with CES, I'm just gonna be like, meh.
We've already got what I came here for.
Unless there's Star Wars video game news.
Yeah. Well, I'll be keeping everybody up to date on boomstickcomics.com. But we are Mediocrity, the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio. Subscribe to us. Go follow New American Fitness on Twitter and Instagram. Go follow Jeremy Magert Art on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. And, yeah, I'm Brian Kluger. We're fun. We're having fun. Oh, God, we'll be back next week for our 26th episode.
Oh, yeah. Episode 25 is a wrap.
Episode 25 is a wrap. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.